Friends in Jesus, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. We're going to focus our attention on the Old Testament reading this morning. I'll read for you just the last few verses at this time. He, the Lord, gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God's Word. Please be seated. Is there anything God cannot do? Well, of course, we confess that God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. So the answer is no. There is nothing God cannot do. God can do all things. But if you are a committed New England Patriots fan and you believe that God is too, then on this day, 1 year ago, along about the mid-third quarter of the Super Bowl, you might have been experiencing a little bit of a crisis of faith, because the Patriots were down 28-3 to the Falcons, and it seemed that even God himself could not possibly pull out a victory for the Patriots, unless somehow he gave them more time, like by making the sun stand still, like he did for the Israelites in their tilt against the Amorites, or unless he would send an angel to knock out Atlanta's defense, like the angel that took out 185,000 Assyrian soldiers that were attacking Jerusalem. If you remember it, maybe you knew that intellectually, God is able to pull out a victory. But the real question was whether he was willing to work a miraculous comeback. And there is the rub. Now, I don't think God takes sides in a Super Bowl. And certainly, if he did take sides, he's not a New England fan. Come on, no one is. Right? I mean, I hear only 17% of people are rooting for New England today, right? Although, you got to say, with that miracle comeback last year in the Super Bowl, you might have thought that God was a New England fan. But this year, the Old Testament reading on this Super Bowl Sunday mentions eagles and says nothing about Patriots. Just saying. But the real rub is this. When life has really got me down, or when it seems like the whole world is opposed to the values that I cherish, and is pressing me hard to conform and to bow to its idols, is God really there for me? Is he able to help me? And if he is able, is he willing to help me? And our text this morning gives us an emphatic yes to both of these questions. God is both able and willing to rescue his beloved people. Just a little bit of a background on this Old Testament reading. Isaiah writes these words for the benefit of Israelites who would live a century after he lived and who would find themselves as captives in Babylon. God's people, by their constant pursuit of the false gods of the Canaanites and by ignoring the prophets, will bring this terrible judgment upon themselves. They will lose the promised land, and they will be exiled and forced to live in a foreign land of Babylon. And it will seem to these exiles like the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob has been defeated by the gods of Babylon, that Yahweh is not powerful enough to save them, that he doesn't really care about them or their plight, and doesn't listen to their cries, that God is neither able nor willing to save them. So, is he? Is God able to rescue his people when their situation seems impossible? Just listen to the powerful answer that God gives to their doubts in this 40th chapter of Isaiah. He starts in verse 21. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? And so God gently rebukes his people for their doubts, for forgetting who God is, even though God had been telling them from the beginning. And then to drive the point home, God begins in this text to lay out his credentials, to prove to them once again, as if he needed to, but to prove to them once again that yes, he is able to rescue them. And the first proof comes in verse 22. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. Is God able? Well, look where God is. He sits above the circle of the earth. And from his vantage point, all of us look like little bugs. And he stretches out the heavens like a tent for us to live in. God is in a position of supreme power over his creation. Have you forgotten? Have you not heard? Why would you doubt what he can do? Kind of reminds me, maybe this is a really bad example, but it kind of reminds me when President Trump told Kim Jong-un that his nuclear button was much bigger and more powerful than Kim Jong-un's button. As if to say, I am in a position of such awesome power that you ought not underestimate what I can do. And that kind of then brings us to the second proof that God is able. Because if we think that our president is in a position of great power, God reminds us in his second proof that he is able by saying this. He says, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like them? Says the Lord, the Holy One. History is littered with examples of powerful people who were brought to nothing. Recently, Harvey Weinstein, Anthony Weiner. A little farther back, Richard Nixon, Adolf Hitler. Even go way back to the Old Testament, even Nebuchadnezzar, that mighty king of Babylon, reduced by God to grazing like an ox, and behaving and looking like a wild animal to teach him and to teach us just who it is who is the King of Kings. And then the third proof of his ability to rescue his people is a sign in the heavens. Verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. God is here referring to the stars, to that countless host of little lights in the heaven that he brings out each night, calling each one by name, so that not one of them is missing. Now, I know the names of a few stars. You know, Polaris, Antares, Betelgeuse, and Vega. And I think that's about all. I know the names of four stars. But God knows every one of that countless host by name. And he calls them out each evening, one by one. Look up some dark, clear night at that starry host. And consider how incredible it is that our God knows them all and orders them by his might. Is God able to rescue his people? The question starts to sound kind of silly, doesn't it? Of course he is able. Has it not been told you from the beginning? And so God says to his distraught people, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right, my cause, is disregarded by my God? Why would you talk like that? Given what I have done and given who I am, why would you ever think that I would forget you or abandon you?" All right, so God is able. But is he willing? Is he willing to rescue his people? That's the rub. And now his answer comes to us in these words. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And so our dear Father answers us in our weak and tempted faith. Oh yes, yes, he is both willing and able to rescue and to preserve his beloved Israel, his church. You see, like Israel in its captivity, we also face temptations to doubt whether God is able or willing to rescue us or to strengthen us. It looks today, in our time, as if God's Israel, the church, is failing. Congregations shrinking. Our culture is not only increasingly hostile to God's Word, but it tries to force us to conform to its values and to bow to its gods, just like the Babylonians did to the Israelites. And now in our day, love is defined as tolerating and even celebrating any and every lifestyle. And you must bow to the God of diversity. In our day, calling the world to repent, the very thing the church is supposed to do, is deemed to be hatred. And you must bow to the God of tolerance. And you must use your artistic talents to help celebrate, let's say, gay marriage, or you will be persecuted and prosecuted. And more, America, for a Christian, is starting to feel like a Babylonian captivity. And maybe we're tempted to throw in the towel, to give up trying to be the salt of the earth and the light of this world. It's tough. It's enough to make even the youth grow weary, faint and exhausted. But God knew our need, and he prepared his answer from before the foundations of the earth, and that answer is his Christ. He gently chastises us for our lack of faith, and he says, "Don't you know? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Our Savior is the Almighty Creator, whose words are unbreakable. He is the true king over all, even over our nation, whether or not we acknowledge him. He is able. He who governs the stars rules over all, specifically for his church." That's the promise to us in Ephesians. And then he further comforts us and strengthens us as we come here to the sacrament of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. For he is the suffering servant, Jesus, who paid the price for our sins, who exchanged his strength for our weakness, and his righteousness for our sin. And for our sake, the Father did not rescue him, but willed him to endure the cross and to die on the cross, and then raised him up in final victory over all of the forces of sin and death and Satan that once appeared to have been winning. You talk about a comeback victory. Yes, yes, he is able and he is willing to rescue us from every evil attempt of the devil to destroy our faith or to drive us to despair or to bowing to the gods of our time. In the midst of our exile in this Babylonian world that despises its creator and his word and his people, this is the promise to which we cling. That we who wait on the Lord will be renewed in our strength. And in his strength we will mount up with wings like eagles, running the race of faith and not growing weary, walking in the ways of God and not growing faint, bearing the cross with Jesus until we also rise with Jesus to his promised land forever. O Lord Jesus, strengthen us, renew us, and keep us steadfast in true faith. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.